Chapter 39. Predecessor. We stood side by side, staring at the great oaken double doors leading into the throne room. They were closed. We were in a dim antechamber, waiting to be announced. I thought I heard people talking. Wyland heard it too.
"What is that?" he whispered.
"The court, I think."
"Court? The nobility?
I suspect there's quite a few curious people on the other side of those doors. High-placed lords, rich families, a general or two, perhaps. Certainly a few knights. Rumors are burning through this entire fortress and out into the city streets right now, you may trust me on that. All are wondering what it will mean for the balance. What does this mean for their little territories?"
Wyland swayed. I put an arm around his shoulders to steady him.
"Courage, young man. You have been a faithful friend to me. These people cannot harm you."
"Oh, God, I hope that's true." The doors opened suddenly. Our eyes were dazzled by the combined light of torches and Sunna's rays falling down from the windows on high. A wall of eyes stared back at us, blank and passionless faces calibrated to betray nothing. Not surprise, nor excitement, nor fear, nor shock, nor interest. They stood like statues cold of life, having been costumed by their servants and arranged out in this hall as scenery. Having become one with intrigue, these people sought to hide and ultimately kill all of those qualities that made them human, as if the act of being such was some form of weakness, some cardinal sin. And so to me, that is what they were. In between the divided masses of these statues was my brother on an enormous throne. At his right hand was a woman who I assumed was his queen. At his left hand stood Hanman. The old serpent was smiling. They were lined on either side by guards.
"Udo, Count of Theodiscus, Wyland of, Plotzdorf," the man called out.
"There's Walhazians," Wyland hissed under his breath.
"They're hostages, perhaps. Don't be rude," I whispered back.
He began to ask me something else, but I ignored him. There were certain matters to attend. If I recall, I was expected to wait for a cue to step forward. It was to have come a moment or two after our announcement. Then we were to walk down the aisle, approach the king, bow, and wait to be addressed. I just strode forward, not waiting for anything at all. The forms seemed unimportant, given the circumstances.
"My son," Hanman smiled, holding out his arms.
He was walking toward me.
"It would seem you and I have much to discuss."
I looked at him, and his body collapsed to the floor, an emptied husk. The room broke into a cacophony as the masks the noble statues wore cracked, fell, and shattered upon the stones. For a brief time, they forgot themselves and acted as humans do, rightfully responding in horror when one of their supposed own was slain. I wondered at the source of their revulsion, if it derived from compassion at the passing of their fellow man, or if they were simply fearful of being next. The guards lining either side of the throne surged forward, swords half-drawn, but clearly confused. They looked at me unkindly, as if warning that I should not move, but it was clear they had no idea how to respond. After all, they'd only seen Hanman fall. I said nothing. I recited no magician's spell, hadn't waved my hands at him. He'd spoken to me, and I only looked at him. That was all.
"Stand down."
Riza's voice swelled the chamber. Voices stilled immediately. The guards backed away, looking placated. I saw him. He'd changed most in his eyes, which had gone tired, with loose skin and bushy brows. His hair and beard were salt and pepper with gray strands, and there was a thickness to his body and limbs I did not remember. A certain heaviness, as if the weight of his muscles and flesh was finally losing the battle with life's downward pull. His hands were as square and enormous as ever.
"I wasn't sure it would be you," his whisper boomed.
"And now?" I asked.
"Yes,
Good. Send these people away. Everyone began muttering among themselves, stopping only when Reza raised his hand.
Captain, see that everyone is escorted safely back to their chambers or otherwise returned to their lodgings beyond the wall. Leave the body. I'll see it remedied later.
Then he turned to the woman at his side and said,
You as well. Go someplace that makes you happy, please. The garden, perhaps, or the library.
She bowed to him, and then departed silently, looking askance at me as she passed. I bowed to her and apologized for the disruption. When I straightened, I looked at Hanman's shell.
He'll be back,
Reza noted. No, he will not.
Is it time?
Soon. Reza settled back into the throne and sighed.
Good.
The man I was with, Wyland, he's a dear friend. I'd like to ensure he's not mistreated.
He can have a lordship for all of me.
No, don't do that to him. It would be better to kill him. He just wants to get home safe to his family, that's all.
I don't understand. The roads are safe enough.
Reza, you know as well as I what happens in a common man's mind when he's brought to a place like this. When he has to stand among these kinds of people.
He'll have an armed escort.
You're not listening.
What then?
I waited for the echo to die before answering. You used to have far more patience.
I'm sorry.
It was an uncomfortable moment. I looked around the throne room. Fortress looks good. Clean. It's nice. He shrugged. I nodded, still looking around. City, too.
Thank you.
What kind of price does one pay for that?
What do you mean?
I shrugged. Oh, it's a tight city out there. People are packed together, close quarters. It's hard to keep up with sanitation under those circumstances. And there's not a speck of rubbish out there, not a scrap. One wonders if that comes from pride or somewhere else.
Somewhere like where?
Oh, I don't know. I'm simply wondering out loud. And in the meantime, we can skip the guards for Wyland. We'll just see he's fed and unabused for now. And when my business here is concluded, he's given back into my care.
Of course.
Thank you, I bowed.
What now?
He asked. It's obvious you know some of it. Do you know all?
I know enough.
One huge finger gestured at the body.
He's been keeping me apprised of your progress. I must admit I was sometimes unsure if you would make it.
I don't hold it against you. I was likewise of dubious belief.
I was unsure if I would be seeing you again.
Why? I was confused. Why would I not have come back?
I was told you were given your choice of worlds.
I waved him off. Oh, please. I know they herded me back here. I'm not an idiot.
Indeed?
You should have seen the first example I was shown. I thought, oh, grant me strength. If this is the first one they show me, what must be coming next? I figured, why put it off, right? He nodded. So, some changes coming soon, I said.
Yes.
I don't know what they'll be yet. He sat up.
Say again?
You heard me.
All right.
You're still going to be the king. He wilted back into the throne.
Fine,
he sighed. Only a little while.
Fine, fine, he repeated.
Reza. He looked at me. The old gods are done. Maybe you disbelieve me right now, or maybe you think it's just going to be more of the same with me. Believe whatever you want, and I don't know what's changing first because I've been away from things a while. I don't know what's been going on. I have no context for circumstances as they are today. Whatever I decide, I could just end up making things worse. I'm going to need your help.
Are you sure?
What do you mean?
Are you sure you want me?
I spread my hands. Reza, you're what I have. Are you perfect? Probably not. Neither am I. I have all these ideas swirling around in my head now, and I don't know where they come from. You enjoy the old leaders of Earth, don't you? You favor your Machiavelli, your Sun Tzu and Bonaparte, Attila, Alexander, Hannibal, Patton. All leaders, all warlords. It's fine. It's a very natural thing to do. But however many of them you've studied, I promise you it is a dram measured against the Mittlera for all of what they've crammed into my head. And the things I would like to try? There's no template, no real map I can follow that doesn't end in eventual and unavoidable collapse. Sometimes I think the riddle is insoluble.
Yes, I understand.
I think that maybe too much control has backed us into a corner. You become fettered by too many parameters. You get locked into the same old patterns, contained, limited.
If I'm hearing you, it sounds like there's potential to upset a great deal.
We'll proceed carefully. In time, and that time might come far sooner than you realize, you'll be able to step away to a quiet life if that is your desire. I will grant you peace, such as it is in my power to give. Whether you accept that peace will be up to you. Or, and I'd like you to consider this before answering, you might find meaning in what we do. It may happen that you derive satisfaction in our work. It may become something of which you are proud. And when your time comes, you may choose to carry on after the death of this body.
Godhood?
If your heart desires it. He averted his eyes.
I deserve no such thing.
You speak as though it is a gift. He glanced toward me again, though his eyes stopped short of meeting mine. I said, for such as we, forgetting is perhaps the greatest gift. There is no forgetting in godhood. He understood. Apart from our early days together when he was a child, it was the first time I saw real terror in his eyes. And yet, I continued, you may yet decide it's a burden you desire. If the work is good. He nodded slowly.
We shall see.
Yes, I agreed.
Will you stay with us long?
Regretfully, no. I leave within the hour. Does the Recht still berth at this harbor?
She does.
Excellent. I'd like her prepared, please. Crude enough to pull the sweeps, but nothing heavy. Provisioned for a full trip, though we're only going halfway. Is she still cared for by the same captain?
Regrettably not. Pavel died some years ago. I'm sorry. I know you were fond of him.
I nodded. I thought he might have... I trailed off. Then I looked at the king and smiled. Probably he drinks Iguiaz under the table every night, eh?
Certainly,
he said, not believing it. Yeah, I nodded again. I wonder if you'd walk with me. I need to make a stop by his apartments. I nodded at the body. I'm not ready to be out of your company yet. The giant loomed from his throne. I didn't like how slowly he moved. I thought we might need to act quickly.
Of course,
he said, falling in at my right hand. He kept the arm closest to me, tucked into his side, as if absently worried it would knock me down.
Wait a moment beyond this door. I'll send word to have your ship prepared.
We all stood together on the dock, looking at her ravens, Fucker and Shitter. They looked fresh, as if a new coat of paint had been lately applied. Wyland was at my side while the giant king faced us. A line of guards, nobles, attendants, and the random curious snaked backward along the planks, up the cobbled path to the fortress and into the city beyond.
Now you're leaving again,
Reza said. Yes, temporarily, as before.
I don't know that I'll survive until your next visit.
You will, I said. I don't intend to lose track of time again.
Intent sometimes disagrees with reality.
I'll just have to do my best. He smiled for the first time that day.
Will you see her on your return?
He asked.
He wants word of you.
I know. I'd rather not.
You owe this to him.
I can't. Please.
Why?
After what's been done to him?
And you were fine with the things done to me, eh?
You were given a choice.
Don't delude yourself, Yapisha. We're well beyond that now.
I thrust her forward and held her in place. She struggled at first, but I'd moved too quickly. As soon as she was within me, it was nothing to overpower her. In time, her struggles lessened, then stopped altogether. When I released her, she lingered at the fore. I waited in quiet darkness. Later, I sensed her return. She said,
"It's finished."
She sounded more angry with herself than me.
"You've done a good thing. Shut up."
When I returned, I saw that Wyland stood well away by the raked gangplank. Reza still faced me, his back presented to all the onlookers, thankfully. His eyes were red and swollen.
"Are you well?" I asked. He nodded. "All right. This is goodbye, then. For now."
I extended my hand. He looked at it a moment, then stepped forward, knelt, and embraced me like a father holding his child. It was not crushing. I recalled that he always seemed afraid of accidentally hurting the smaller folk. When he took me, I felt something hard against the top of my head, an amulet beneath his shirt. He stood unsteadily, pushing against one knee with a hand and groaning silently upward.
"It grows heavy here,"
he observed. "Hand me that dagas," I said. He seemed to think it over, then pulled it over his head. He carefully handed it to me, and so it must have startled him when I cast it into the ocean. His eyes were round, shocked circles when I said, "You're free now." Then I turned and made for the ship. His voice reached out to me as I departed.
"I'll wait to hear from you. I won't be long,"
I promised.
"I never seen anything like that before," Wyland observed as I approached.
I said nothing, so he continued on as if I had. Didn't think he had a heart.
He must. I've seen him bleed.
Wyland's eyes widened a fraction.
Didn't think he could be cut, either.
Well, keep it quiet.
Friend Wyland, this is where our paths part ways.
No.
No?
He nodded toward Sunna's throne.
You're bound for that?
Yes.
You're going back?
I am.
He looked at the sun a moment, then away.
Well, I'm not done then. I'll walk with you a little further.
It's unnecessary.
No, it is. I'd like to go anyway, Udo. Please.
I could see what it meant to him.
All right, up the plank then.
He smiled and marched onto the deck. The Wraith's captain offered him a scandalized expression when he stepped onto her deck. Wyland failed to notice.
"Ho, captain," I called.
He glanced at me suspiciously, as though I was preparing to insult him as well.
"Aye? May I have your permission to board, sir?"
Eyes narrow.
"You may. Thank you."
I climbed the plank easily enough and was stupidly proud when standing on her deck that my legs remembered the Wraith's movements. I bowed to him and said,
"Udo of Theodiscus, at your service."
He returned the bow.
"Reynold, sir, of the same."
Then I looked closely at him. His voice, now conversational, recalled memories. His cheeks were high and round, red for lack of shade rather than drink, and his body, though trim and taut with good dry muscle, was festooned with charms dangling from various belts and bandoliers. When he smiled at me, I heard the laughter of a ghost.
"May these waters carry us safely," I smiled.
He passed the captaincy to his son.
Now his face split in unabashed good humor as his eyes sparkled in the ocean air.
You remember? Didn't know if you would.
He threw his arms around me as if I were his father returned to life. I led him, eventually returning the embrace as well.
He told us stories, Reynolds said,
shaking his head in disbelief.
Never thought I'd meet the man. He was very fond of you, sir.
I loved him, I agreed. He was a good captain.
Reynolds nodded, then turned abruptly to wipe at his eyes. I stepped away to give him space, then found myself wandering toward the bow to join Wyland, who stood watching me. Deckhands scrambled around me as I did, storing provisions in the hold, setting benches, fitting sweeps to locks. I nodded to them when our eyes met, and they returned the gesture.
Never been on the ocean before, Wyland said once I was beside him.
I think you'll find it pleasant, I said. I assume raiders are no longer a concern.
From Walhaz, not for a long time.
I nodded. I tried to imagine what had happened over the years that would allow Wyland to shrug off such a thought. The Walhazians, a people who, for all I knew, still believed paradise was purchased in blood, now walking the lands of Theodiscus, now standing within the king's very throne room. What had been done to make them so? I shook my head and put it aside, a concern for tomorrow.
I wonder,
Wyland said to himself. He was gazing out over the waters toward the Titanic heartstring.
What?
He looked at me, thinking carefully. Then he said,
no. My mother often said I should never ask a question if I didn't want the answer. I think for once I'll take her advice.
Barely put, I said. I produced the aerdoscope from the folds of my cape, removed the caps from each end, and held it glinting to the sun. The gold casing sparkled brightly while the jewels inside the tube, topaz, lapis, emerald, ruby, amethyst, jade, and so on, dazzled in spinning arrangements intended to suggest the shape of the land that stretched out all around us. It was the finest such example of its kind I'd ever encountered. Wyland whistled appreciatively when he saw it.
That's quite a pretty. Where'd you find it?
Still sighting along the tube, I gestured back toward the fortress with a thumb. Lying around in a dusty old solarium.
His solarium, sir.
I looked at him. He nodded and said,
Didn't like that one. Smile was all wrong. Listen to your gut, Wyland. It seems determined to serve you well.
What did you do to him?
I sighed.
No, that was you.
Yeah, I know you do. Never mind. Certain things you'd rather not know.
All right, he swallowed.